Blog Talk Radio.
Let me go.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga group, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the holy ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Ottawahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our guests this week are Regina Water Spirit, the medicine helper for Grandfather Bearheart. They are in New Mexico. And hello, Regina. How are you and Grandfather?
We're doing fine.
Grandfather's a little hard of hearing, so she's going to be helping out with questions and relaying them to Grandfather Bearheart. And basically, we just kind of run this show by the spirit and ask Grandfather to just tell us whatever is on his heart right now about the earth and about his medicine path and where he thinks we should be going.
Okay, that's a very general question. He likes things a little bit more specific, but let me see what I can do with that, okay?
Okay, maybe just tell us a little bit about himself.
They'd like you to say a little bit about yourself. About
you on the medicine path. You're on the air, Bearheart. I am an 87-year-old medicine man. I was trained by two elders of my tribe for 14 years, learning the songs, the plants, roots, and everything. and whatever illness somebody has, how to make diagnostic approach to it, and then pick out the thing that you know that they are needing, and sing the song, and how to prepare the herbs, leaves, or roots, or some whatever it is needed, and how to apply it and everything. It took 14 years to learn these things.
Regina, what nation was grandfather born into? Where he was born?
He's a Muscogee Nation Creek tribe.
Okay.
His great grandmother died on that trail of tears.
Okay.
From Georgia, Alabama area to Oklahoma.
Can he tell us a little bit about the things that you do for people there in New Mexico?
Sure.
What services do you offer?
New Mexico. He's still traveling at 87.
What kind of services do you offer?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
What kind of services does he offer to people?
Okay. Let me...
And about his book, maybe tell us about his book.
Okay. Let me have him address that. Talk to them about how you take care of people around here. Wet lodges, busy wet, mother, doctor.
I treat people of all races, of all colors, of all beliefs, and things like that. And when they come to me for help, I determine what kind of help they are needing, and that's what I dispense, not only the information, but how I can prepare certain things so they can take it, whether it might be a cancer or some other kind of ailment. And I try to take care of the cause, not the symptoms of what they have. And I've been taught to do that, how to gain rapport with the patient as to what they're feeling and things like that. So this can be a long process, but at the end, if the result comes out positive, I never take credit for it. The only one that can heal, in my viewpoint, is the Creator. And when He does it, I give credit to the Creator and not myself. And that's how I operate and use my medicine.
Water?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Regina?
I can... add a few little things to that.
Sure, you know, go right ahead.
People come to the house all the time with different situations. They can be physical, emotional, spiritual, and he just sits with them for a while. He may wind up in prayer with them. He may suggest that they do a ceremony, like he reads sweat lodges and Nipi ceremonies, because he's been adopted by many different tribes, so he would do a Nipi ceremony in the Lakota way. He's been adopted by 14 different tribes. See, Bernhardt was the director of cultural retention for the state of Oklahoma for many years, so he speaks in different native languages, and he's even taught other tribes, younger people, some of their own language. You know, just simple things of even how to greet somebody.
Right.
And if you'd like, it might be interesting for your audience, for Bernhardt, to say a few things in different Indian languages right now.
Certainly, go right ahead.
He is a linguist, and then he'll tell you what it means. Okay.
That's great.
Say a few things in different Indian languages and tell them what it means.
If you want to know... if you're glad that people have come and you want to acknowledge them, in the Kickapoo tribe, you say, Kapiche Hipwe Efiayakwa. If you want to say the same thing in Cheyenne, it Biva Chitmua Machas Nisquist. And you want to say, I'm glad to see you here in the Kiowa language, you say, Deom Deom Bon. You want to say the same thing in Russian, Ya Ochen Glad with that bot. We can go on and on and on and on.
What about my part that
you
say
glad? Oh. In the Oto tribe at Red Rock, Oklahoma, instead of saying, I'm glad to hear here, they say it this way. Hawake, Nusche, Hingalovke, Aji. My heart was made glad. I come. That's what it means. That's how I say, they say, I'm glad to be here. My heart was made glad. I come.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. Tell him that was wonderful.
He says that was wonderful.
would you ask him if he can tell us a little bit about some friends that he has among the nations that we might relate to, you know, through the years. Who are some notable people that he's run into that he feels that he was a friend with, and vice versa?
Okay, well, I have to be careful about how I use that word friend.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the native way, that's a whole different concept. But I'm going to ask him to speak to you specifically right now about Wallace Black Elk.
Okay. The reason why I'm doing this, Regina, is that everyone that does medicine work like he does has detractors. And I specifically like to interview people that are on the so-called hit list, you know, the people that are being criticized the most in Indian country, because they're usually the people that are doing the most for the people, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you might explain that to him.
A lot of people that you would call his friends, they've all passed on.
Right.
So do you want him to just address the ones that are still here?
Whatever he feels comfortable
with. Call them friends. Those are all grandsons and nephews.
Whatever he feels comfortable with.
Okay. Let me see. How would I phrase it? Bearheart, who's out there in Indian country that you feel, you know, they're not your friends because your friends have all gone on? But nephews and grandsons and who's out there doing things for the people in a good way?
Those that I have shared some of my medicine ways. One is my nephew.
The one that was here yesterday. David Toon.
He's a Navajo, but he was adopted by my tribe a long time ago. He doesn't even know his Navajo relatives. He more or less knows most of my tribe ways, and he's been helping other people from the things that I have taught him. And in time, I have two grandsons. One is my blood grandson, Robert Charcoal. The other is my adopted grandson. His name is Felipe from Panama City. And those I'm going to pass on. Not all the things that I have learned in 14 years, because in Oklahoma, many tribes had witchcraft and things, and how to protect yourself and others, and how to help those who have been victimized by witchcraft and all that. But now, most of those that practice those things are gone, so I left them that out completely. I have what is left to help people, toothache, earache, and whatever ailment they might have, and what herbs and roots or leaves to use, and how to prepare it, and what the songs that goes with it, and application. And if people have been cast upon some very negative things, how to fix a new soap so they can take a bath with it for 4 days in a row and wash off anything that's been cast upon them. So those are just some of the things that I do and that I'm passing on.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful, tell him. Do you have anything to add?
What tribe is Rupert from? Rupert. You know the one that studies up there in Kansas? Pat Ember studies with Rupert. We met him at the Wisdom Keepers Conference. You know, Bluewater, do you know Doug Boyd?
I haven't met him personally, but I've read several of his books.
Okay, well...
Yeah, Grandfather Rolling Thunder was my teacher.
Yeah, well, I think Doug Boyd would be available to you to speak to, and there was a younger Native man at this Wisdom Keepers Conference. His name was Rupert, but I don't know his contact information, but Doug Boyd would know it.
Yeah, I have no way of getting a hold of it. I can't figure out how to get a hold of him. There was an email address for Doug Boyd once, but...
Oh, I can send you...
Oh, I'd love that. To. I'd love to have that. Yeah,
You know... Oh, Bill, I want to know if you've read his book.
No, I haven't, but I would love to. Would you ask him to tell us about his book?
Yeah, let's start with the first one. The second one's just about ready to...
Oh, excellent.
But after 11 years, his first book, The Wind Is My Mother, is still in print. It's a bestseller in Denmark and in Germany. It's been published in 10 languages.
Wow.
Chinese, Korean, Japanese.
Oh, my gosh.
And now Hebrew also. But I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about The Wind Is My Mother.
Thank you.
Bearheart.
My first book is telling that to be a medicine man, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't ask to become a medicine man. I was chosen by two elders of my tribe at different times. And so I agreed. And so I studied with them, alternating one teacher and then another, because I was still in school when they had approached me. They had already talked to my parents what they were going to do. And so when they came, one at a time, they asked me, you know me and things that I do, and I told them yes. And they said, I want to pass this, all that I know, on to you. You can carry it on. I've been watching you from your childhood on up, how your word is good, and you're not hot-tempered or anything, because you will be in charge of some powerful things that could do harm. And so the other one said about the same thing. One, there are both ministers. They are both Indian ministers. One was Dave Lewis, and one was Daniel Beaver.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And so, for real 14 years, I had to do a lot of fasting and praying and things like that to learn all the songs and everything like that.
Well, the book gives a lot of his personal philosophy and his tribal ways and some stories of things that actually happened.
Right. And, Regina, be sure and speak up loud as you can.
Okay.
And, yeah, get as close to the mic as you can. And
The second book is called, so far, it's called The Bear Is My Father, because his mom was the Wind Clan. And his dad was the Bear Clan.
I see.
Yeah, started off, the Wind is my mother, and then the second one, the Bear is my father.
Would he like to tell us a little bit about his new book?
Would you like to say something about your new book?
I have let other people talk about some of the things I have done with them. Bob Bergman, a psychiatrist, and different ones that I have helped. I do a lot of ceremonies, not only the Sweat Lodge and Vision Quest, but also I am what is known as a roadman of the Native American Church. That means roadman is the one that is authorized to conduct. The Native American Church starts in the evening and come out in the morning. I have an adopted son from Argentina, and he had to have a liver transplant. I did 3 meetings on his behalf. First, he didn't have insurance or anything, but he was accepted into one of the most fashionable hospitals. And his wife called me and told me that he was there. And I went out there, and he was in a coma at the time. And I did the first meeting for him, and it's an all-night meeting. And I used his instruments that he used, and I told the people what I was doing. I said, don't think of him as being in the hospital. Think of him as that wonderful smile he has when he greets people and prays for people. He used to sit here where I'm doing now and conducting meetings like that. And I want everything to be positive. So on the third, through the third meetings and different times, he got well, he came out of the hospital completely well. And the fourth meeting, he authorized me to go ahead and conduct it. But it was an appreciation meeting on his part. And so that's how we do things in our Indian ways.
Well, Blue Water, he's passed the phone back to me.
Well, that's great. Would you ask him by any chance, did he know Mad Bear Anderson or Rolling Thunder?
Did you know Mad Bear Anderson and Rolling Thunder?
I used to call Rolling Thunder Grumbling Thunder. And Mad Bear was his story was written by the same man that wanted to write about me, and I wouldn't allow it. I said, I'm not ready yet to be written about. But I knew Mad Bear, and he was a good medicine man, a very good man, but he died according to me, at an early age. That means around somewhere in his 60s. I am 87 years old. So I tell people when I went to school for the first time, it was so long ago that they didn't even have history.
You know, to give you an idea of like what his time is like, he thought he was going to be able to relax this weekend, but he got a call. Have to drive him up to Taos, New Mexico. That's about 2.5 hours away, where he will consecrate a sweat lodge for Lakota people who just built one and want to help the people out in that area. So he'll run the lodge and he'll consecrate it. And then from there, Sunday morning, I'll take him to the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, where he'll do a special blessing for a state representative, a young woman, and her mother, who's a medical doctor. The father, who was also a state Senate fellow, passed away almost a year ago. He was hit on a bicycle by a truck. And so this is a special ceremony that the school is asking Gerhard to do a blessing for them. I guess the state representative, I know her last name is Fox, she was instrumental in getting the Institute of American Indian Arts funds over the last few years, and they want to honor her this way.
Mm.
So they call Grandfather Gerhard. That's the kind of thing that, you know, he's asked to do all the time.
Right. And that's just wonderful. I think that's great that he could be real active and get out and do things. And ask him if he would tell him that this is the 30th anniversary. Because I recall this is the 30th anniversary of the occupation at Wounded Knee, and there was a PBS special about it recently. I haven't seen it. But maybe he could tell us a little bit about those days and the people that he used to know.
This is the 30th anniversary of Wounded Knee. And Blue Otter would like you to say a little something about Wounded Knee and who you used to know during those days.
Wounded Knee was attacked by the American Indian Movement members last time, and then two FBI men was killed during that attack. And there's a man that they put in prison, Pelletier, and he has never been released, and many prayers has been made in his behalf. And it's not surprising what the government can do. My own people, along with four other tribes, were removed from their homes and in the southeastern part of the United States. That was the Choctaw, Chickasaw, Muscogee, my tribal nation, and the Cherokee. They were moved from there and made to walk by soldiers on horseback to Indian Territory, which later became Oklahoma. And so, Wounded Knee is one of the many conflicts we have had. And we don't say what is right or what is wrong, but in another way, to be downgraded by the non-Indian organizations has always been a big thorn in our side, so to speak. And still, we are in the United States as citizens of this country. My first visit to Washington, D.C., I got a chance to meet the President of the United States, Harry Truman. I am also an ordained Baptist minister, and Harry Truman was also a Baptist, and so we prayed together before I left. I saw all the papers on his desk. When he signs his name, it includes me as a citizen of this country. In our Constitution, it starts out by saying, we, the people. We are the people of all races, of all tribes, of all colors. And so, to uphold our government. I have served in the Army of the 45th Division and later with the 9th Armored Division. And my own only son I ever had died in the Philippines wearing the uniform of our country. May 11, 1964, that was Mother's Day. Things like that has happened in my own personal life.
Okay, Blue Otter.
Ask him if it pleases him, if he would tell us a little bit about the prophecies that he knows of.
Would you be willing to say something about any prophecies that you know about?
Let's talk about peace. Peace is not necessarily the absence of conflict, but knowing how to cope with that conflict, there is your peace. To know what you can fall back upon. And so, we have a war going on in Iraq. When the Muslims attacked the two towers in New York City, our president or present president of the United States. Instead of negotiating, he declared war, trying to let them know that you can't fool around with a big power like the United States of America. And so, not trying to understand the Muslim belief system. Their God is Allah, and they viewed the two towers representing evil. And according to their religion, they were trying to destroy it. And we didn't even know, try to understand their belief system. And instead, war was declared. And we're still fighting. I guess it's okay to send young people to go fight if you didn't have to go yourself. And one of those casualties was a Native American Indian woman that died fighting in that war with the wreck. And so, in the prophecy, we must continue to pray for the leaders of all countries that they might learn how to live together in peace.
No, I think Bearheart is saying that we don't have to buy into the prophecies of devastation, that prayers can still be heard and responded to. He was interviewed by Current Affairs, Maury Povich, 1988, in November, here on Thanksgiving Day, because he was praying for snow up in Copper Mountain, Colorado. They were having these terrible seasons up there, not enough snow. It snowed for 26 days. They had to buy chains to get out of there.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Current Affairs sent a reporter out, and the whole conversation, I have a copy of this if you want me to send you one.
Sure.
The whole conversation really was that people look for the spectacular, but they miss the point. The point is that an appeal can still be made to the Creator, and the answer is the answer. So people should know that they have a lot to do with what's happening and what is going to happen. He doesn't believe that it's set in stone and that we can't use our awareness level to change things for the better.
Oh, well, that's certainly true. That's everything that I believe, and He certainly described Grandfather Rolling Thunder well. I never met, I didn't meet Mad Bear. I may have met him in a dream. I didn't get started on the Red Road until 85.
Uh-huh.
And in that year, well, in going back to the early 80s, I was told in a dream three or four times in one year that when I turned 30, something very important would happen. And in the year I turned 30 was 84. And the following spring, I was in a library and picked up a book. And that led me to contacting certain people. And then I had a dream where a full-blood Indian man appeared to me, and he asked me when I was going to do something. Well, let me describe the man. He was a full blood. He was sitting down. He had a white stone hung around his neck on a chain, and there was a key in the stone, and his name was also written in the stone. And he just asked me when I was going to do something about my Cherokee genealogy. Well, that was a wake-up call. And then later on, I didn't read Doug Boyd's book about Mad Bear until a couple of years after it was published. I just couldn't afford books back then. But about a year previous to that, I started putting the prophecies together in one place and so people could read them all and compare them all. And then when I read Doug's, our website started out back in 1995 as just a handout. I had 16 pages typewritten back in front, and I asked people to just copy it and give it to their friends. And then in 96, we started up a website, which is at Wovoca, WOVOCA.com, and where we talk about all the prophecies. And then the following year, I read Doug's book, where Mad Bear made a prophecy that someday somebody was going to put all the prophecies together in one place so they could be compared. And he says, then we'd really have something.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And then years later, I began to think, gee, it's kind of a coincidence. Mad Bear died in 85, and that Indian man appeared to me in 85. So I kind of wondered, because, several years previous to that, I'd met Rolling Thunder, and Rolling Thunder was close to Mad Bear. So there was something going on there. But, Grandfather Bearhart's probably he probably wants to relax a little bit. I know you folks have been out today.
He worked out this morning. He's a heart patient, so he works out 3 times a week now.
Oh, well, ask him if there's anything else he'd like to tell the people. And maybe he mentioned Grandfather Wallace Black Elk earlier. And also tell him when we get off the phone, he's welcome to come on this show anytime he wants to make an announcement or anytime there's anything on his heart. He's welcome to come on. This is his show now.
Well, that's very gracious of you, and hold on just a minute.
Sure.
Bearhart, they're saying that you're welcome. This is your show now, the radio. You have a way to talk to the people anytime you want to say anything to the audience. And right now, if there's anything you want to say about your brother, Wallace Black Elk,
there are two things. You can talk or you can say something. And depends on the kind of person you are. I had a Lakota brother. His name was Wallace Black Elk. He was adopted by the Black Elk family, and that's how we met. I was also adopted by the Black Elk, but I didn't take the name, but he did, and he called himself Wallace Black Elk, a Lakota. He was also a medicine man and a very good brother, and we shared many, many wonderful things while he was here, but not too long ago, he passed away, and I don't have a real close brother. I had a real brother, but I was born just before my mother's menopause, and as a result, my half-brother was a lot older, and I also have an older sister that's living at this time, And I grew up mostly alone without having a close brother or anything like that. And Wallace filled in as a very good brother to me, and we shared many things. We laughed many times, and we also shed tears many times together. And his wife in Lakota, Wombly Gliska, means spotted eagle. That was her name, and she called me brother. And so I respected that relationship with both of them, my sister as well as my brother. And so as I go on through life, I have many grandchildren and nephews and things like that. But to have a friend is one of the greatest things that one can confer upon someone. And it's a long story about how friendship began. But to have a friend means more than your blood relationship. Your friend comes to ask you something for something, even if you have to go into debt, you have to satisfy your friend. That's how serious we think about friendship. And so I thought I'd share that part with you at this time.
Thank you.
Well, Blue Water, we'd like to send you a DVD.
Oh, wonderful. That'd be...
talk that Bill Hart did.
We'd love to... is this a DVD? Now, he has a book on the market and another one coming on the market.
Yes.
Is there anything else that's on the market that supports his medicine path?
Well, we have two CDs. One is on his medicine songs that he sings in the Native American church ceremony, with him explaining when he sings them.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one is a guided imagery that I wrote with his voice and his ways. And that's a workshop that we do together where people go on an inner journey. And, the one he's mentioning now is a DVD that's called It's a Good Day to Live. And I can send you all three of those. Do I have your address?
I'll email it to you.
Okay.
And tell him if he would like... I haven't checked out your website enough, I'm embarrassed to say.
That's okay.
We're starting a new diet. Things were just really chaotic the last 24 hours. But if I have the ability in the software to edit sound and video, and if you would like previews of these videos or your DVD or any like a 30-second preview of each CD track, you know, I can fix those up for you so you can put those on your website.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, I'll send you, if you'd like, I can even host the sound on my website so it doesn't eat up your bandwidth, because I've got a good amount of bandwidth now. So we'll talk about it through email, and because I want to do whatever I can to help him.
We can put you in touch with Cliff Buchanan in
Texas. Great.
He handles our website.
Okay. Yeah, and he may be able to, I may be able to help. He may not need my help, so we'll work.
No, I think he will, because I don't think he can.
Oh, great. I love your website. It looks great. And we'll have this interview running about midnight, well, probably about 11 or 12 o'clock tonight, your time. Maybe a little later. And then it will run, it'll be featured for a week, and then it will be archived forever. And
do you know what station it is out here?
It won't be broadcast, but it will be on the internet, so people can come, and we have thousands of people that visit our website.
Oh,
people can come and listen to their interview anytime they want to.
Do I have that website address?
I'll send it to you, and I'll send you the address where people can click from your website over to mine, and they can listen to the interview. Or I could even say, I could send you a website code that you can put right on your website so they can play this interview from your website. Whatever you'd like, it doesn't matter.
You know, if you click on to gatheringofcircles.com, gatheringofcircles.com, Cliff Buchanan, you could communicate with him and tell him that
you've
spoken to Bearheart and that Regina asked, you know, if for him to speak with you about some needs.
Okay. And Grandfather Bearheart's website address is what?
Bearheart.info.
Okay. Bearheart.info. Well, I really appreciate it, and we'll be in touch, and love to work with you and do whatever I can. He sounds so much like the older teachers that I've had. Has the same kind of attitude, same temperament, he's... We just love him.
Well, that's his bottom line anyway. So, this is more powerful energy than anybody can come up with.
I just wish everybody loved him. But as you and I both know, there's people out there that don't. So that's the reason why I put this show together, so he can speak for himself, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Bless you and... stay in touch with us.
You bet. Ask her if there's anything he'd like to say as we sign off.
Is there anything you'd like to say as we sign off?
There's two words that means the same thing. In Hawaii, when you say aloha, that can be a greeting. And then when you leave, you say aloha. And then as a blessing, you say aloha again. And the same way in Hebrew, shalom, you can greet someone. And when you leave, you can say shalom. And also the shalom can be a blessing also. In Spanish, instead of saying adios, goodbye, they say hasta luego. That means until then. So to everyone who listens, I say hasta luego.
Bearheart, Blue Water.
Yes.
You know, Bearheart used to do a radio show from Cincinnati.
I believe it.
He has a closing... a little poem, and I thought maybe you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
Okay, hold on.
This was said just before I sign off at midnight, and it's called Moon River. Moon River, that lazy, flowing stream of dreams, to carry you down through a thousand yesterdays where nothing is but sleep. Care will not seek for thee, for vain desires forget themselves in the loveliness of sleep. Moon River, forever flowing, forever drifting, on and down to the sea.
Oh.
That'll put everybody to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Well, wonderful. That's a wonderful poem. Well, we'll be in touch.
Okay, you take care.
Appreciate talking with you. And if there's anyone else that Grandfather feels we should interview,
I'll send you some information via email.
Okay,
and
thank you so much.
He has a medical doctor nephew here in town who's going into integrative medicine.
Oh, wow.
Has been studying his ways. And, you know, Bill Hurt's a retired board member for Johns Hopkins, so he bridges that gap.
Oh, my gosh.
Spiritual and the medical, and so there's a lot of people.
I know Doug was working for, as I recall, he was working for Meninger Foundation when, or with them, you know, when they were investigating Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
He had been able to speak over there a couple of times.
Oh, that's great. Oh, well, I wish I would have met him. But like I said, I didn't even start walking the Red Road till 85 or so, and that's that might be a good thing.
That's right. Well, the important thing is, doing it now.
Prayer at the museum.
Yeah, you know, Richard West, the director of the Washington, D.C. Smithsonian nephew, Indian Museum.
Uh-huh.
That's Bearhart's nephew through adoption long ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Bearhart was friends with his parents.
Oh, my gosh.
He knew Richard before he was born.
Well, that'd be fun to interview somebody like him. We've interviewed Leonard Peltier's attorney. That was Mike Kuzma. We've also interviewed the man who authored the book, the Wisdom Keeper series, Travels in a Stone Canoe,
I'm sure the museum would like to know what you're doing.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, unless, Regina, you have something else, we'll go ahead and let you guys...
We're going to get on with getting ready to go up to Santa Fe.
Okay, all righty.
Appreciate all your time and energy.
Well, thank you so much, Regina.
Okay.
Talk with you soon. Okay, bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Thank you. To a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozark Plateau of Mid-America, and our guest for the show to be aired beginning the November 2005 is Grandfather Red Elk. How are you, Grandfather Red Elk?
Oh, been a rough day. I got my little grandboy, got a red-headed buddy, and it's like a match in a, and a dry tinder in this house all day long. It's just terrible. But other than that, I'm all right.
Keeping you running, huh?
Oh, Lord. I want to go do a trip in the wilderness for a month to regain sanity.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I know what you mean. So what do you think some of the things that happened in the last few weeks?
Pardon me.
Did you get a copy of that announcement from that Oglala Sioux medicine man, Sydney has no horses?
Oh yeah, I got about four or five people sent that to
me. Yeah, what do you think?
Interesting. I'm sort of pleased that the Indians are starting to step out and do their job finally.
Yeah.
And, maybe that'll allow me to slow down a little bit and get some R&R.
Well, the whole thing impinged, the whole announcement impinged on they need to get their house in order unity-wise. Instead of that if you don't get into unity, thus and such is going to happen. So, interesting.
That's the way of it, and I've been after the school blood brothers and sisters for over 5 years to start getting their acts together and reveal things to the whole world for the sake of the world. But it hasn't been until the last, month and a half or 2 months maybe, that all of a sudden they're popping out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's been going on in your life?
Well, nothing much. I had my other surgery, and my foot's doing far better. I wore shoes for the first time yesterday since October 19th of 04, so.
Wow.
Yeah, and still got some healing to do, but I'm doing better that way. But I've got something to share, and that's the safe area of property that I've been looking for land for, and every single time it's either sold the day before or something else comes up. So I've got no so-called safe land, and where I am at, where the land we own, is certainly not safe. I'm not talking about volcanoes and stuff, although that's certainly included, but the upcoming war on our country, that one, they'll be coming right by with their tanks and everything else, right down my, you know, scant yards from my house. I'm only about 60 feet from the freeway. That I-90 that heads off towards the East Coast. But anyway, it's all in Pop's timing. But oddly enough, I found out that the properties, the area that I've been very interested in, I've known about quite a bit of activity with the governments of both the United States and Canada going tunneling under all of that area. And now, lo and behold, it's all whited out on the maps.
Hmm.
So.
Kind of like the Mel's Hole area, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All whited out. Every bit of the places that I was looking for.
Are you talking about like on the Terra server map?
And I understand a large conglomerate, is that how you pronounce it? Has bought up a huge portion of that property up there. And they're from Hawaii, and I don't know if it's true to it, but it looks like it might be in Ed Dame's mood, you know, for safety. And Mel Gibson has bought property up there, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's right. I'll find where I'm supposed to go when the time comes. Who knows? I just might end up with my wife and me just, I don't know, walking a lot, I guess. But getting ready for when everybody's going to be doing more than walking. They're going to be running than I do.
Yeah. 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 What do you think? Well, I know a couple months ago there was a what was billed as a visionary map of a Russian invasion map, and it showed some safe areas. It showed invasion from four directions, just like George Washington's vision talked about. But it showed them coming in at Portland. And it showed Northern Washington being a safe area. Northern Washington, Northern North Dakota, Northern New York, Northern Arkansas.
Yeah, Northeastern Washington.
Panhandle of Florida. And
yeah, what I was showing in the Great Vision was they'll come on the East Coast and up through the Texas Panhandle. And I kind of think, I didn't see it, but I kind of think Mexico's involved, you know, letting them through the borders.
Yeah. Well, the...
But anyway, they'll come up Oregon, Washington, and probably Upper California. And the ones on the East Coast will be constantly beat off. And the ones from Texas and stuff, they'll come up like we're very warm weather and they got a burning knife. And they'll meet the people up here that are coming in ashore here. And their armies will meet these armies and turn around and head east and catch the East Coast in a pincer movement.
This map showed everybody heading for the center of the country, which is where you'd want to find a tank battle. Showing them, you know, basically end up coming into Kansas. And I think it, the southwestern place they come in, I think it comes into Atlanta and then across through Memphis. And, of course, the best route to Kansas from Memphis is up I-57 and across I-60, which I live on, and to Springfield, and then up on up into Kansas from there. So I could see why Northern Arkansas would be it'd be a place where, well, tanks don't work in mountains. You just don't fight with tank battles in mountains. And if there was a big conventional war, that's what they invade with, would be tanks.
Mm-hmm. And, well, anyway, I'm not afraid. I'm just trying to figure out what Papa wants and when. I sort of think that there's going to be problems, maybe not military, but volcanic problems here pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
And I'm surprised it hasn't happened this fall. And but it hasn't. What I was showing, it will happen sometime during or just prior to days to elk season.
Uh-huh.
And elk season is already, I think it's about over now, so it hasn't happened this year, so maybe next. But that will be going up in the ranges of volcanoes around us. And my home literally is built on lava stones from Mount Rainier. So
yeah.
It's something else. And I've got Mount Si, little and big Mount Si. They're just, let's see, about 55, 65 miles from me. They're going to go. And St. Helens, I've already went through the original St. Helens explosion.
Mm-hmm.
There. And that'll go again, and Adams and Baker and all of that. And so, you know, we're going to get shot at from bullets from man and shot at from bullets from dad. So.
Well, that's what Grandfather Sidney Nohars has said, that there was going to be volcanism, you know, it would be so bad that it ruined the Missouri River water supply. And, of course, that starts up in Montana. It comes down to the Great Plains, Nebraska, and then eventually down into Kansas and Missouri.
Well, I tell most of the refugees, at least towards the East Coast, going up into the Canadian border I'm talking about military, you know, refugees from the military going up into Minnesota and gathering there as refugees.
Uh-huh.
At least they had a lot of water, you know, compared.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, you know, I'm just really not all that concerned about it. I know my job, and whether I do it alone or with my wife and grandchildren and hopefully daughters, fine, I still know my job, and I'll live long enough to do that, and otherwise it wouldn't have been given to me.
Right. Well, how's your DVD doing?
Not very good. Not very good at all. Too many people just, I told the company, I think that they're putting their wishes in the wrong wishes. The more important things to film that I'm aware of than that. But I think I might have, well, I know I sold one in the last 5 weeks, but that's all. And I get $10 per, and then the government gets 30%, and the accountant gets 7.5%. So that doesn't leave me much out of $10. So things are tight. The wife's laid off and on call, and she can make more money in unemployment than being on call, but they keep calling her once or twice a week, so she can't get unemployment. So it's tight for us, real tight.
That's too bad. Sorry.
That don't worry about it. You know, it's, I'm, you know, I can make a little into and sleep in it. My wife would have a fit doing it, but I know enough about how to stay warm in the winter and things like that. That piled up huge bunch of leaves once in a true blizzard, a real honest to God big blizzard, and swept like a log all night, not a lick of cold and stuff like that. So, but again, the wife, I don't know. I don't know if it's, how much she can put up with, but at least I've got years and years and years of doing and studying stuff like that. And that's more than most of your listeners have got. And tried to tell people for many years to study the ancient ways of not just Indians, but Eskimos, Africans, Vikings, stuff like that. And it's still not too late to get to the library and do it and learn a little bit, for God's sake. It's going to be pretty rough. Learn how to eat worms and learn how to eat certain bugs and certain plants and why you got them and how to purify water and stuff like that. But, I've screamed in the wilderness so dang long, I'm getting hoarse. And a few people pay attention, but darn few.
Last time we talked, 2-3 months ago, I sent out emails to all the different paranormal radio shows. I think it was right after your appearance on Coast to Coast with Ian Punnett. Did you get any other interviews?
Mm-mm. Not at all. So, it's really, let it come to most people, or it ain't coming, or Red Elk is just a doomsayer, and no, I'm not. I'm telling you what's going to happen if we don't change, but there is hope. So, I don't know. It just seems to be rolling right along the way my vision shows.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you want to, would you like to review that for the folks that haven't heard about your great vision?
Well, I'll give a quick review. It's about 72, 74, somewhere around there. I fasted for 69 days, and again, I used minerals and vitamins, so I wasn't starving myself to death like a crazy man. And in that time, over a 3-consecutive-day period, the Creator started showing me things in the middle of the day. And the first day where it ended, the next day it backed up a little bit to the first, at the end of the first, and then continued on, and the third day did the same thing until I had the whole complete story. And well over half of the things that I saw have already taken place. And so I don't know. He even told me I'd had 2 crippled feet, and right now I've got 1. So as much as I tried to go to different healers and stuff, I couldn't heal it and, get it healed. And I'm not allowed to do self-healing if I can get to other doctors, including wife. And I ended up getting the toe cut off. So anyway, so I still live about, and one down, one to go. So, I'm not too happy thinking about 2 feet out of pretty much out of commission, but I spent several nights in a row, almost a whole full week, asking Dad. I said, "Sir, I know what causes his illness and accidents, and nothing that I've done or anybody's done for me has been helpful." And I asked him why.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And because I try to keep myself pretty much clean in his sight, in the right standing, and he showed me a problem I've had, and that I was aware, but I didn't, you know. I was mad because we're always going deeper and deeper in debt for this calling, and hardly a lick of support from anyone. So we're now about $44,000 in debt. I was mad at God because he wasn't doing what I think he should do and thought he should do. He showed me that. Well, I apologize profusely. And still, I had to go and get my throat cut. And I said, "Okay, why?" And suddenly he showed me part of that vision where I had two crippled feet. And then he said, "Now hear me, folks, Dad can talk." And he said, "Nothing would stop this vision." So, I guess that's that. I'm walking proof the vision is going to take place because people are not listening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got that DVD if people want to go to my website and buy it. It's 11 and a half hours of taping, cut down to 2 hours and 40 minutes, so you miss a lot, but you got the highlights.
Have you talked with these fellows about, like, offering a preview or something, that you can run the website on your website? I'd be glad to host the video.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but frankly, to be honest with you, now this will cut down a lot of sales, and this is why I thought they were crazy. I tell about the vision on both the forum and on my website. I tell quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why, you know, you can read it for free. Why go out and buy it too, just to see some wrinkled old man talk about the same damn thing?
Yeah. Well, you know how previews is what sells. That's how they sell movies. That's how they sell TV. It's the no.
I'll talk to them about them. Go out of it. I don't know if my webpage can handle it.
Well, you tell them if they'll send me one. I can engineer, you know, a 3 or 4 or 5, 10 minute preview or whatever. I can take spots from here and there. I've got the software to do it,
yeah.
And I can host the files on my server,
and you won't even take up any space on yours. And they can approve it all, so. But that's...
All right, I'll approach him on it. First, I'll approach Dad on it and see what he has to say.
That's what's
helpful. Just 2 weeks ago, I turned down something that just started out to be in the ground floor, really, at Web TV. And I could have signed up for that, I got my own radio station, you know, my own radio show once a week, and so what can I say that I haven't said? I'm not a show host or anything like that, in a sense, TV show host or anything. It just sounded more time consuming. Get out and teach than be strapped at something like this.
Now you're telling me somebody offered you a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Or now Web TV is a way for people that don't have computers to get on the internet using their TV.
Yeah, but this is some kind of a new special thing, and it's out of, I believe, to Canada. And it'll go real good. But again, I mean, you know, I don't have guests on and stuff like that to do it. And there's me standing there, you idiots, get ready, you know. This is your goodbye. Every show, and I can basically have my red show. So
yeah,
I don't know. I've given and given and given and given until I'm tired of giving. And by giving, I'm not talking about financially giving. Yes, that's true. But I mean, I've carried this message across the world.
Yeah.
For better than 5 years now, and going on six. And I did it a good 5 years or so prior to that. And I don't know. It's just too few people are interested.
Well, it's, it's getting so real. I think people are getting a little unnerved. Some people really get scared.
Yes, and the scared ones have every right to be scared. They are, you know, I get a lot of emails and visitors and regular letters and phone calls. Where should I move? Geez, folks, those listeners, I'm not going to tell you where to move, basically. It's because if you don't get right with the Creator, I guess it really doesn't matter where you live. And if you do get right with the Creator, then go and ask Him. I had one dear old lady, I think she's 83 years old. She stopped by here about 2.5 weeks ago. And she's a Christian and claims to have all kinds of faith in God. And then she said, "Where should I move, Red Elk?" And I said, "Ask that. You know, if you got that kind of faith, dang it, that's what you need." And I flat out refused to tell her. And that's it. Besides, she's so dang bold, she doesn't really have to worry about it. But I'm tired of being people thinking I'm a babysitter or something. I'm not God. Never have been God. I'm not a guru. Never been a guru and never will be. And never ever intend to be. I've even turned on a brand new Rolls Royce to be somebody to rule, some rich lady out of New York. I have and told her, "No, thank you." I could use a new car, but I don't need that.
Yeah.
But really, you know, it's get right with Dad. If you want to buy some Red Elk, that's it. And once you're right with Papa and put your trust and faith in Him, he, her, she, whatever you want to call it, the great one, then really put in your trust, then you really haven't got that much to worry about. But those that claim they got that trust, they are showing me almost, I'd say, close to 100%. But
Yeah.
There's about 1/3% that really do. And frankly, they're talking through their underwear. You know, they just the faith is not there. It's just not there. Faith maybe to have a job, to meet their bills for the end of the month, and it ends there. And if they lose their work, they just have a pity. And I'm tired of hearing it, and I'm nobody's guru, and you can't press my button. It's, you better go press Papa's. And that has nothing to do with religion. It's just a one-on-one between you and the great maker. And it works, I presume. He can talk. He, she, whatever you want to call.
Well, this week, you know, we have maybe 10 or 20 people that are real active in our discussion group, and we're talking about some different teachers, and most all these people, they've all been slandered at one point or another, and somebody who used to be my biggest supporter has now decided that I'm a scoundrel, and that Mary Summerain and all these other people are scoundrels, and this person was real active in Native Affairs for a long time. And, you know, her life was just basically out of control, and she was looking for a way to get out of where she was, and somebody made her an offer to go to a place down in the southeast, and she didn't like it there, and she ended up going back to West Virginia to her own home, and things didn't work out there, and then group got together and bailed her out of that situation and got her back home, and she gets back home to, you know, 2-3 weeks later, all of a sudden, I'm a scoundrel, and Mary Summerain was a scoundrel, and her teacher knew No Eyes never existed. And
oh, that's a crock.
Well, I was just thinking, you know,
well,
my gosh,
as far as I'm concerned, if the rumors are true, Summerain is now claiming that she is the reincarnation of White Buffalo Calf Woman, and I hope that's not true, because that is just absolute asinine.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but
I have. But if it's true, she's gone wacko.
Yeah.
But
prior
to that, she was right on.
Yeah.
No Eyes was right on.
Well, this is kind of an example of how cynical you can get. You can start talking yourself into believing that the prophecies are all BS. And she kept saying, oh, well, you know, if you look deep into Summerain stuff, you know, well, she got it all out of the Bible. I said, oh, yeah? I said, what about the part where, where No Eyes predicted that there was going to be a green mist that was going to be seen over the earth? And the very day before this person kind of left the reservation, there was a picture. It was the astronomy.com's picture of the day. Showed a picture of a green mist being shown over the earth.
Hmm.
And then there was another picture of a totally green aurora the next couple of days. And I said, you know, so you're saying No Eyes never existed just because she supposedly predicted that Mary Summerain's husband would never leave her. You know, and I said, so, yeah, I said, just because that one prediction didn't come true, you don't believe all of that.
Hold on. Just because he left her physically, he's still tied to her.
Well, yeah, he divorced her and died, you know.
Died.
And, but because of that, you know, the point I'm trying to make is this person was very scared. Her life was completely out of control. And she ended up right back where she started from. And then all of a sudden she just did a complete about face on everything she's ever believed and tried to do. But she never, it's just like another person you and I have talked about, who's pretty prominent. They never really find their way to dad. You know, their life's out of control, and their mouth's moving like, you know, they're they're talking the talk, but it's difficult to walk the talk, to make that connection to Dad. Like you said, you know maybe 1% of people make the connection.
Yeah, one in a third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A tithe of a tithe.
The people on earth, that's not very darn many.
Yeah, a tithe of a tithe.
Yeah. So, it's all right. We all got to crash and die anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, big deal. You run out and prepare, and, you get all this stuff together and everything else, and you trip down the stairs as you're going up
to
the church or whatnot, and, you know. But I'm prepared as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And, the knowledge that I have, even if I was a total amputee, I could certainly sit somewhere and tell somebody, take that stick and put it there, and this stick and put it here,
mm-hmm.
and on and on, and make a little very comfortable hut, and, right from nature, and things like that. And, so even if I was blind, I could share and help, and so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, well, the most important.
Frankly, brother, I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. But the most important preparations you can make just are spiritual. Read the parable of the 10 virgins, and you understand how wise it is to make the spiritual preparations because. Do you want to tell the folks about that parable of the 10 virgins?
Oh, about the virgins that...
The five wise
ones. I'm looking for oil for...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know, but... Yeah, but... I don't know. The people have been warned for many years now. Not just by me, but others. And any time a Bible reader opens a Bible... They're warned too, but are they paying attention? Generally, no. No, no, no.
It seems to always come down to the last second, doesn't it?
yeah, it seems to. It really seems to, so.
The Great Flood, the last second. Everybody puts off their repentance until the last second.
Well, that last second is all you need, really.
Oh, yeah, if you'll do it. That's a big F,
But I've been, we'll get off of this soldered subject and go somewhere else. I got a man and wife and a younger son, almost 20. I think he is 20. I think he just had his 20th birthday a week ago. And she called me here really worried about this strange thing that's been looking in her window. And she can't make out the face, during the night.
Oh, yeah, you were going to tell me about that, Bigfoot.
It was Bigfoot. And I told her how to befriend it, because evidently it seemed very curious about them.
Huh.
In short, trying to make some kind of contact. And lo and behold, they did. And we're getting the results that I expected when hunting season came on, and they disappeared, which is typical, but hunting season over there is now closed, and they're back, and it's this time he brought his wife and his child.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's kind of like that gal in Tennessee, her last name.
Right, right, where they let their kid play with the Bigfoot kid.
Yeah, I think Red Fox, she calls the oldest one, and I can't remember her first. Janice Green, I think it is.
I don't.
Yeah, she
know
grew up
her.
Family that comes in and out of her yard, and she's had contact with several generations of them, and all the time, the oldest one's always coming to the door wanting different things. And one time, it needed some garlic, and so she held the garlic out, and when it reached for the garlic, she grabbed a couple of hairs off its arm. Looking for some DNA evidence, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, seems like we're getting pretty close.
Well, they're not animals; they are human. They are soul-bearing people, and we've been encroaching upon their territory for quite a while. It's getting harder and harder to keep hidden. And it appears as if there are a few that are trying to make contact throughout all of North America.
Huh.
I know of a case for the last 3 years now of a younger Sasquatch, by the sound of it, about 22 years old, out on a mate search, you know, and up in Canada, and just scaring the heck out of the Indians, you know, about this demon that walks this one path about this time of year. And I told him that's no demon, that's just one of your brothers, and
be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluear speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Anyway, I'm trying to convince them to do the same thing that I told the wife and man about, and boy, they're just scared to death.
Well, why is it that there are some Native traditions that believe any contact with them just leads to, you know, years of bad luck?
Years of what?
Bad luck.
Oh, I know that, yes. And most Indians are afraid of owls, too.
Yeah.
It forewarns of death, and you know it. I personally, no, it's not to me. The owls foretell death. There's no lie about that. But it's how you look at the omen, if you want. And Sasquatch is well, I'm not afraid of Sasquatch. Have I ever met him? And no, but I walked right by a fresh footprint of his, so I knew he was there, or within, you know, within a quarter of a mile or so. Could have been right there in the wood, the bushes right there within the woods, for all I know, just feet away. But I'm not afraid of them. They're just, you know, it's basically, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And now it's getting to the point where they got no place to go, so they're trying to make some kind of contact, and,
yeah.
Or appear to. There's also one down in Mexico that keeps coming into this very, very large town on a nightly basis, and everybody locks the door and hides, and now they got some macho Mexican down there with a rifle, and he wants to hunt this thing, and there's something else. To me, it's murder. You know, just plain murder. It's self-defense, it doesn't matter. But
a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who was an Air Force officer for 28 years, told me that, and he had a ranch near Colorado Springs, and he told me that the sentries at the Air Force Academy are told that if they shoot one, they could be prosecuted for murder.
Well, I don't doubt it.
They're told not to shoot them.
Yeah, again, self-defense. But you better make dang sure it is self-defense.
Yeah.
You know, if they're making a charge at you or something like that, they're just trying to scare you out of it. You know, wouldn't you charge a four or five delinquents in your yard, you know, throwing a party, you just come tearing out of the house, matter, and I'll get up. And it doesn't mean you're going to kill them or anything.
Have you heard any of the interviews lately about giants?
Yeah, I did, yes, and I know quite a bit about giants anyway, so, yeah, I've heard them.
Yeah, do you want to elucidate the folks?
Well, they're there, and there's a lot of them in the Innerlands, and there are a few here within the United States, down in the Four Corners area, Nevada specifically, but those that I'm speaking of now are from another race, and I'm not going to tell where. You could drive right to it, but you wouldn't know where you're at if you're driving. You got to walk to it. It's a three-day walk. And, I mean, to get to the actual spot and know, yeah, that's the spot. I've walked 3 days, you know. And that three-day walk, and you can get a very short amount of hours in a car, and you still wouldn't know what to look for.
Yeah.
So after 3 days, you just look around and, that's what I'm looking for, and go over there and meet them. They're friendly.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about giants and also little people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of interest.
Yeah, I love the little people. Well, and some of them are pain in the butt, but I love them. And the dang, I guess it's pixies or something. Anyway, they don't know anything but teasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a pain in the rear to deal with. And, I mean, I don't know if they have a non-teasing bone in their body. And just, it's their culture. And, well, they're a pain to deal with. They're not mean or anything, but they're a pain to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you hear from anybody up at Cree?
Well, I'm supposed to be up there, supposed to have been up there this month, or no, this last month, and for the third time I got called off, so I don't know what's going on. And I haven't been up in Cree land now for a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. Some things I know are sad.
Yeah.
You know, concerning certain objects that are not being used properly and stuff like that. But I don't know. You know, I do what I can, and it's not my responsibility other than to advise. And people take the advice or reject it or do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Well, you know, these kind of things that I know other in the Cherokee origin story, we're told that during this period of time, the elders would be pretty much ignored, and you know, to the complete detriment of the nation, and that if the Cherokee nation went the way of all flesh, it says that it would affect the entire world negatively. So that seems to be the way things are going. Everybody's just ignoring the elders and going their own way and being arrogant.
Yeah, and frankly, the world is very lucky I'm not God, because I'd do away with all of you and run off into the great void and blow my brains up.
Yeah.
You know, I just said, what a bunch of twits that the poor guy has given, and with great hope. We just screw up left and right, and we're not the only planet doing it. All the others are doing it. There's no exception. So, you know, that's a poor guy. He loves so greatly, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't care for what we do, but he does love the things that he's made, and he's made us. We're from his mind room. So
your Thursday night show is still being heard in England, right?
Still being heard in English?
Yeah, your show, your third show.
Yeah, and Australia and stuff. It's internet. Anybody that can get on the internet can fork out their bucks and listen to it. I don't get any of those bucks, but, not a penny. But it's there. Yeah. Anyway, it's, I don't know. It's a strange time for me. It's just gotten to, basically, I'm kind of wore out and tired of trying, yeah, but still doing what Pop wants me to do. Right now, what I'd love to do is to get the physicians and nursing profession and do seminars on healing as a way the inner higher for healing, which is quite a bit different from the traditional way. And Alzheimer's is curable. You know, cancer is certainly curable. And phantom foot, that is very curable. And the white people, you know, the doctors, they can't be cured. Oh, crap. I got a letter from my surgeon in the truck. It's saying that what I did has not only cured me, as he did, but also cured an amputee with half a lower leg gone. And, you know, teach it. But I, you know, I get it, still get many, many people email me and whatnot, and I feel like I got to learn from you.
Yeah.
But I can come up this weekend or that week or, you know, like I can drop everything and just serve them. And I'm tired of it. And so if I'm going to do any teaching, I would like to start teaching 300-400 people at a time in one heck of a seminar instead of 2.5 days with one here, 2.5 days with three there, you know, all taking the same course in a sense, and but over a 2.5 day period, and they could fill up my 365 days a year. It's teach this, teach that, teach me, and that's good. I'm tired of it.
Sounds like you need a good agent publicist.
I need all kinds of things, but right now what I need to do is to get out in the wilderness and spend some time between me and Dad. I haven't been able to do that in almost 3.5 years, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just haven't been able to do it. And now my grandson's here, and when my wife, you know, not knowing if she's going to work from day to day, I've got to be here for him and, you know, get him up for school and make sure I'm home when he gets home. And it really cuts into any plans of my own.
Right.
So I'm just unable to do what I really would love to do is just take a number of days off and go be alone between me and Papa.
What about taking him out?
Well, that,
put him on a hill. How old is he?
He's 9, just turned 9.
Well,
unfortunately, then I end up out there entertaining him.
Yeah, he's a little young.
Yeah, so that wouldn't work. It would not work, and no, it's time to be alone. But we can't afford a babysitter to do what I have to do every day. And my daughter, she's about as useless as a tit and a hog, you know, that type of thing, and a boar or whatever. And can't count on her. She was going to come and watch her son 3 times and never even call. Well, anyway, she's got to grow up too.
Still struggling with her problem, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'll struggle and probably until the day she dies, unfortunately. But that last minute repentance, you know. But anyway.
Well, sounds like you need a lot of prayers, folks. So
I don't need prayers.
Say some prayers.
I need some rest.
Yeah, that's it.
I need some rest. So is my poor wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, this buddy of his, a little redhead, good Lord, this day has been so hectic, I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, the tour won my wife and I, and when she's having a bad hair day, then I'm calm. And today I was having a bad bald hair day, and she's calm. thank God for that, because if we were both going wacko with these two kids, I'd say I'd have shipped them off to Timbuktu. There's something else. They're even terrorizing the dogs in the house.
Yeah, you get two young fellas of that age together, and they're going to be running around, aren't they?
I guess. Yeah. But anyway, it's been an interesting last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. I did a seminar over on the coast, and it was a good time. And I did feel led to have a guy from Slovak, Slovia or something like that. He flew in and stayed with us for 7 days, and boy, he really started soaking up what I was trying to get across. It was a good time. It was a very good time, but very, very rare for me to do that, and you know, on a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
Very rare. I had to quit it because, you know, I'd have groups in on the weekends and stuff, and I had to quit it because one guy ruined it for everyone. He stole $1,200 out of one lady first who was here and took something very dear to me, an $89 flashlight that I'd saved for months to buy, and stole it. And I said, I have it. Enough of this crap. And then again, out of all of them that we come, the vast majority, we still come back for me to hold their hand, and I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, it's tough when they're just not getting it.
They're not getting it. Very darn few are.
Yep.
And again, I'm nobody's babysitter.
Yep.
And if they want to babysitter, Dad's a dang sight bigger and better at it than I am.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And so let them go to Daddy and do their crying.
Yeah, what is it about people? They want that arm, or they want to depend on that arm flesh.
What?
The arm of flesh, as it talks about in the Bible. They want to depend on something or somebody who's that they can touch, feel, see.
Well, yeah, that's the Jewish people. They wanted God to set, you know, step down so they could have a king, a man king that they could touch, feel, see. And he warned them, and they said they still want him, and that's why they're in the mess they are now. They literally invited the King of Kings to step down from being their king in exchange for humans. And they're paying the price even today.
Oh. Yeah, they were. There was one.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, the northern 10 tribes had a separate temple, and they, you know, a lot of us descend from them because they went off into northern Europe and Russia and elsewhere, but they went to totally off the deep end and were practicing male prostitution and all kinds of horrible things in their temple. And they left. They became Gentiles. But the Jews, they didn't go quite that far. They did have install an idol in the temple alongside. They didn't take the Ark of the Covenant out, but they put another idol in there, and so they came real close to doing what the, but they didn't cross that line. But so then the Ark was stolen and taken by their enemies. And interesting story. A lot of interesting things going on in the Holy Land right now. It's just so many things going on right now. That are having to do with fulfillment of prophecy. It's like something, it seems like there's something happening every day.